that I wrote last year, and also a kind of a guided practice that I first designed for myself called Finding Wholeness and Healing Within Heartbreak. And this practice, this teaching is really centered around how do we practice with heartbreak? How do we care for those tender places that are kind of aching within us? Okay. But before we get into it, I want to just take a moment to pause and just invite us to just arrive in the space. And I'm just going to begin by inviting you just to arrive and maybe just feel the aliveness of your body in this moment. And this is not going to be a long practice right here, but just wanted to open with inviting just three invitations of the bell, and just inviting you as you hear these rings to imagine that you're sending out of your heart with the sound of the bell everywhere in all directions, love and happiness. So may this bell carry love and happiness to all beings. Okay. And I also have a candle. You might open your eyes if your eyes are closed. I also have a candle here that I'm just lighting in honor of my blood ancestors and all the spiritual ancestors that are here with us today, including your ancestors, and just asking them that they might bless our time together today, that our time might be filled with not only our presence, but their presence and all of the beauty that they have to offer us in this moment. So I'm just offering this candle to the ancestors and all of the teachers, right? All of the teachers and practitioners who've helped carry these teachings to all of us, and to continue these teachings, because without them, we wouldn't have access to them. Right. So, just giving thanks for all of these ancestors, lineage holders, teachers. And lastly, I'm inviting you just to place a hand on your heart or anywhere in your body. Just offering a warm motivation for our time together, right? Kind of grounding in something beautiful and meaningful. It's a lot happening in the world. A lot of not just heartbreak, but a lot of people experiencing a lot of grief, a lot of loss, right? A lot of death, right? A lot of empire happening. And a lot of us we just miss people, right? A lot of us, I miss a lot of people, right? So we generate this warm motivation, this intention, not only to for this time to be a benefit to us, but may it also be a blessing to everyone in our hearts and to all beings everywhere, without exception, in all realms. And may our time support us with not just having good conversation and good practice, but it help people actually get free of our delusion, right? Including me, all of you, and everyone. Hopefully, it will generate pathways for all beings to be free. Okay. All right. So thank you for joining me with that little opening of our time together. So I have a little quote that I'm going to share, and then we're going to kind of get into the teachings. And I know we're kind of behind these Zoom rooms and things like that. What I really want us to be able to, kind of put your questions in the chat. I'll be checking the chat. If you have something that's on your heart to say, put it in the chat, and I'll do my best to kind of circle back and forth to the chat, because I want it to be conversational as best as it can without it turning into like a big long conversation. But I want you to be involved in as you feel inspired. Okay, so just wanted to put that out there. So there's a quote that I was sitting with as I was preparing for our time that kind of gets us into the what we're exploring today, and it's around heartbreak. Okay. And the quote is, "I didn't cause the heartbreak, but it is my responsibility to care for it." Right? I didn't cause the heartbreak, but it is my responsibility to care for it. And this caring can be of benefit to all beings. I didn't cause the heartbreak, but it is my responsibility to care for it. And this caring can be of benefit to all beings. Okay. So my inspiration behind this practice, this teaching today, is that it came from my recognition that I've caused heartbreak before, right? I've caused harm before that led to people experiencing heartbreak, right? And we all have caused heartbreak before, and we've all experienced heartbreak from someone else, right? And particularly in today's teaching, I'm focusing on relational heartbreak, not necessarily limited to romantic relationships, though. Okay, so it could be with a friend, a family member, could be with a partner, it could be with somebody we work with, or any interaction where there was trust and connection. Okay. And one thing that has kind of evolved in my practice as I've matured and grown just as a person, but also with my spiritual practice, is that oftentimes most of our heartbreak is connected to fractured relationships. Fractured relationships. And I, for myself, I know that there's so many relationships that I've been involved in, right? And not just romantic. But so many relationships that I will never have an opportunity to formally repair, right? I've had experiences with people where relationships have gone sour, or they've broken up, or we've had to part ways for different reasons. And sometimes I was the one who kind of initiated. Looking back, I can see, oh wow, I actually played a really significant role in some of the ways that this relationship turned out, right? I was involved in it. And then there's some relationships where it was like, wow, I was really harmed in this relationship. I was really harmed by what happened, and I was harmed by how things turned out. And also, I may not ever have an opportunity to connect with that person, to repair it, for reconciliation to take place. And some people, I don't want to ever see them again, right? I don't want to have to look them in their faces, right? I don't want to have to be around their presence. And it's not because I'm holding on to anything, but after heartbreak, sometimes distance is really important. Right. But I do have the question about, as practitioners, what do we do with that heartbreak when reconciliation is impossible? Like, what do we do with it? Do we just push it away? Do we try to forget about it? Right. So this is what we're going to explore as we kind of work through this practice together today. What do we do with the layers, with the wounds, with the tender places, with the tenderness in our heart that's been left there as a result of heartbreak connected to relationships? All right. But I want to invite you all to join me in a short grounding practice before we kind of go into the heartbreak, because it may be a little heavy for some of us. So I would like to do a short benefactor practice to help us feel a little bit of love, if that is okay. So inviting you to find a posture is going to be another short practice, and our other practice will be a lot longer, okay? This is going to be a short practice. And I'm inviting us to just start off by just establishing a felt sense of awareness of our bodies in this moment. Awareness of there being these sensations that we call the body. And just doing your best to feel the presence and the aliveness of your body, the weight of your body. Recognizing that sometimes our attention shifts away to thinking, to emotions, to sounds, and that's okay. We can be aware of all of that without having to be aggressive. And just starting fresh, starting back again, just coming back to feeling the aliveness of the body, maybe feeling the support under the body too. So I'm standing right now, so I'm feeling the support under my feet. Inviting you to feel the support under your body, the places where your body is in contact, is touching something that's holding it. And you might scan the body, not any particular sequence, but just feeling your clothing on your body. Noticing any temperature. The body. Some parts of the body a little cooler than others. Just kind of noticing. And then sensing the gift of breath. Feeling this is shared experience that we all have, no matter race, size, identities, class. We all share breath. Our ancestors shared this breath. The Buddha shared this breath. All of the wisdom beings shared the same breath. Just feeling that the coming and going of the body breathing. Okay, and noticing that you can come back to the breath, the body, as we move on in this practice, if you feel a little agitated, feel free to come back to the breath of the body, okay? So now imagine and just kind of getting a feeling of the presence of all the beings who've loved you in your life. So you might scan, kind of do a little timeline check in your mind. Who are the beings who I know have loved me? You might think of their names. their faces. And just kind of get the feeling that they're here. All of the love that has been offered to you, that it's here surrounding you in this moment. Some of those beings may have already passed on. Some of them still may be living in this realm. But sensing that the love is still here. So just imagining that there are bright lights surrounding you wherever you are, and that these beings are offering their love to you. They're wishing you to be well, safe, and comforted. It's kind of like their light is shining on you. It's raining on you. Just sense their love filling your heart. Maybe you might just say to them, "Thank you. Thank you for your love. I may not have had an opportunity to tell you thank you, but in this moment, thank you." And then just sharing that love back out. You may open your arms out, you may lift your hands up, you may place your hand on your heart, or you just might offer a smile in the heart, just wishing that all beings might feel loved. Okay, and then just taking a deep breath together, breathing in and releasing out. Okay, and just having a moment to just move your body a little bit. Okay, and just for like 1 or 2 minutes. I promise we're going to get to the teachings, y'all. I promise we're going to get there. But I'm just curious to hear, like, how are we arriving into the space today? Like, what inspired you to be here, right? It's so much we could be doing, but we chose to be here. So just curious, just in the chat, like, just curious to see, you know, how we arriving and what inspired you to be here today? So it's some heartbreak in the space, war, commitment to the path, need for connection and sangha, respite, divorce, wow. Broken heart. Yeah, so just taking a moment for to scan the chat. I'm not going to read them all aloud, but one thing we can see for sure that we are all navigating some element of heartbreak in some way, right? Right, we're not alone in this, right? That's one of the greatest teachings that I've learned from the Buddha Dharma is that that even though sometimes we feel alone in our suffering, that's never true, right? It's never true. Like we all share in the joys, and we also share in the reality that we navigate suffering, sometimes more intense than others. Okay. So just wishing that as we move through our practice together in the teachings, that's something that might be shared or explored today might bring a little bit of warmth to our hearts, right? It may not fix everything, but hopefully it might bring some warmth. Okay. So just shifting now into more of a teaching moment before we go into the core practice of today. Just wanted to share a little bit more about heartbreak and what that looks like, what that has looked like in my practice and exploration. And just kind of naming that heartbreak always happens in relationship, right? It always happens in relationship to someone or some experience, right? And as I mentioned earlier, today's focus is how can we allow our practices, how can we allow the teachings, how can we allow our relationships to our hearts to support us with navigating heartbreak when we can't have any external resolution, right? How do we keep our hearts from hardening even though we might have heartbreak? How do we keep the heartbreak from turning into revenge seeking, right? Because when heartbreak turns into revenge seeking, then we are being motivated by hate rather than kind of justice, wanting justice, right? Wanting repair, wanting reconciliation, wanting healing. When it shifts into revenge, we've kind of shifted from that place of it being kind of a righteous anger, right? A righteous anger meaning that a type of anger that we recognize the wrongdoing in the situation, and we're using the energy of anger to support us with doing all that we can to end that injustice or that wrongdoing, right? So it can be a righteous element when we have that recognition that my motivation isn't to get revenge, but my motivation is to stop harm from happening, right? But when we shift into revenge seeking, we've kind of stepped into the place of hate, right? And we don't need more hate, right? Because that just becomes another delusion that begins to feed our actions, right? Right. And when we're talking about heartbreak and like the healing within heartbreak, we're not talking about seeking punishment for another person, right? Even though I think it's okay, right, to be honest and be like, sometimes, what they did was effed up, right? It was terrible, right? And sometimes I want them to actually suffer, right? Right? It's like, okay, I know the Buddha Dharma and all of this, but sometimes we have the feeling that it would be good if they just got a little taste of their own stuff. Right? That may come up, right? Right. But we can recognize that when that comes up, that we can name it and note it for what it is, and we can practice coming back to something more wholesome, right? But we're not seeking punishment. We're seeking to care for the heartbreak within us, right? And to develop a different relationship with that heartbreak, not necessarily developing a different relationship with the pe person we were involved in, right? Which is a little different, right? I'm gonna say that again. So when we're talking about the healing and finding wholeness within heartbreak, I'm not talking about finding healing within the relationship that we once had, right? I'm talking about finding a different orientation to the heartbreak that we have in our hearts, right? And mindfulness invites us, and mindfulness awakens this capacity for us to be kind of get a little closer to the heartbreak, to get a little closer to the tenderness, right? To come a little bit more face to face with it, right? Because sometimes it can be so tender that until we have the practices and we have the capacity to turn towards it, the best thing for us to do might be to just leave it and not look at it for a bit, right? But then there's some moments in our lives when we get to a place, get to a point where we're willing to listen to the heartbreak a little bit. Right? We might feel ourselves, okay, I think I might be able to look at it just a little bit. And like I said, This is a practice of more so a deep listening, deep feeling, rather than feeling and changing something, trying to figure something out or change something. Right? And we're definitely not trying to change the other person, no matter how awakened we might be. Right? We're not trying to change someone else. But what we can do, and what mindfulness does offer, and what the clarity of perception does offer, is it provides us a space to be honest with ourselves. Right? We can be honest with ourselves and say, it hurts. We can be honest with ourselves and say, I wish this never happened. We can be honest with ourselves and say, I hate them. Right? We can be honest with ourselves to allow what's been pushed down to come up just for a little bit and breathe, right? It's not saying that overnight we're gonna do this and become Kuan Yin, right? But we might be able to face it with a little bit more care. Face, and when we're talking about facing it, we're talking about facing ourselves. And the reason that heartbreak happens is because, and I was thinking about this yesterday, heartbreak happens just because we're human and we're complex and we're, you know, we have a lot of neuroses and a lot of things happen, right? But also, heartbreak happens because all relationships change. Right? The impermanence of everything. The impermanence of everything, impermanence, right? No feeling lasts forever. No thought lasts forever. No sensation lasts forever. No sound lasts forever. No perception lasts forever. No good relationship lasts forever, right? And some of us might be thinking about, well, what's the difference between heartbreak and like disappointment? Right? And for me, they're slightly different. Right? They might intersect, but they're a little different just for the sake of us being able to do a little bit of work with it. For me, heartbreak is kind of like the emotional imprint that we carry as when a change happens in an invested relationship, right? Where some trust was broken, or something happened where we've been impacted and it shifted how we relate or feel or see the world moving forward, right? It's this emotional imprint. Sometimes it can, we can feel that we've kind of like, if I do air quotes, healed it. But most of the time, it stays with us. Right? It leaves a tender scar that remains with us, even as time passes, right? It's like a soul wound in a way. Right? Now, disappointment is more of an emotional experience that leaves after a short time or after some closure happens, right? Like we feel it, it may be intense for a while, and then it's kind of like, oh, that happened, right? It happened. It's not something that captivates us anymore. It may have once captivated us, but the more of the captivation was around the emotional intensity of it. The heartbreak, it remains. Right, it shows up, and it until we work with it, it really alters how we experience relationships moving forward. Right. Yeah, so there was mutual emotional investment, right? But not always mutual. Sometimes heartbreak happens when we've invested emotion to a relationship. And what we recognized that there wasn't an equal exchange of investment. All right. So what we're talking about is not just a disappointment, right? Where we were just, it's not like we were just let down. Right. We feel it a little deeper than just like a letdown. Okay. So before we shift into the practice, what I want to lay down now at this point is that heartbreak doesn't necessarily get healed, but our capacity to feel differently and relate differently to the heartbreak can be different, right? Our capacity to feel new experiences around the heartbreak can be different. So I want to say this again, like it's not that the heartbreak is healed or it goes away, right? But we can change, right? How we understand ourselves to be, who we understand ourselves to be, the narratives that we tell ourselves relating to the heartbreak, that can change. Right. And this can happen in practice like we're going to do today, but it also can happen in community where we have spaces where we're with people where we can tell the truth about the heartache as best as we can. And we can be listened to, and we can be validated in it, and we can be witnessed in it, whatever comes along with that telling of the truth. But first, the telling of the truth starts here at home. All right. So the core part of what we're going to do in our practice is relating to using our imagination as a skillful and creative means in this practice of working with heartbreak. And don't kind of freak out if using your imagination isn't like an active part of your practice. I know some people using the imagination is more of a part of ritual practice, sadhana, and some of us it may not be. So it's okay. You'll be okay in it. All right. But I wanted to highlight why I included imagination within this practice. And the reason is imagination gives us this capacity to kind of like reach, right? Imagination gives us this capacity to feel into the possibility of another feeling beyond what feels impossible. Okay, I'll say that again. So imagination in spiritual contemplative practice, it gives us this capacity to expand and reach a little bit, right? And to invoke something that we may not feel we can access on our own, right? Because a lot of times, like our thought patterns, a lot of times these mental tendencies, the narratives that we might have carried, not speaking against narratives, but the stories that we might have carried as a result of having the heartbreak might have us a little confined, right? But the imagination says, it's like, oh, let's bring a little bit more spaciousness into this. Okay. And we're able to kind of cut through where we're stuck and we enter into a broader field of openness. So imagination is like the doorway into the reality of a new relationship forming. Not a new relationship with the person, but a new relationship with our heartbreak. All right. So I want to pause for any kind of like comments or I know this isn't a Q&A, but like anybody like have a question that they want to put out into the space. So we'll do maybe like 5 minutes of this before we shift into the practice, just in case there's something anybody wants to ask before we step into it. And you can unmute. if you have a question or just a comment. And just make space for 5 minutes of that.
think there is a question here, Rashid, in the
Okay.
chat from Ryan. Just says, I'm grieving the loss of my beloved and how to practice with it without clinging.
And Ryan, just curious, could you share a little bit more how what you mean when you say practice without clinging?
If you want to go ahead and unmute, Ryan, you're welcome.
It says you're unmuted, but we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? I end up asking myself, how can I continue the good qualities of the one who passed? How can I continue to honor her? Include the heartbreak in my practices, and yet still work on letting go and moving on with my life in certain ways. I'm finding it difficult to find that balance.
Yeah, so what is arising for me is, and first of all, just so sorry for your loss, right? But I would say, don't rush it. Don't rush to find the balance. We gotta be off balance for a little bit. Right. And it's we especially for those of us who are really disciplined in practice, we kind of want to immediately have a straight back again.
Right.
Right. But like one of the, I don't have it with me, but one of my favorite altar items is a crying Buddha. He's bent over and he's crying. And I think it's really important for us to embrace that part of who we are, right? Knowing that we can cry, we can be heartbroken, we can be deeply saddened. And it doesn't cancel out our worthiness or our Buddha nature. There's enough space here for that, right? We're welcoming this capacity to be both Buddha and sad and heartbroken. All right. So I wouldn't give you, and I'm sure hopefully the practice will leave you with something else to take away with it, to work with it. But what I would say is I would encourage you to work on being more gentle with yourself around their process. Right, working with recognizing when you're trying to be beyond where you currently are with it. Create a little bit more tenderness around that, gentleness with yourself.
Thank you.
Okay, so 2 more minutes before we get into the practice. Anybody else have a question? Or just something you want to say? Okay, Nancy. Yeah, Nancy. I feel I have let go. Okay, but I still feel tethered to him. Nancy, do you want to come off mute and share a little bit more about that?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, so my husband walked out after 22 years together, and it came a bit a bolt out of the blue. And I that was 4 months ago, and I've been feels like I've been to hell and back. But I felt a real shift. Last week, where I felt like I kind of something shifted in me and I kind of let go. But there's something which I still feel tethered to him, even though I think in my mind I've let him go. But my heart is still somehow tethered, and I don't know how to let that go.
Yeah, I mean, you know. And 4 months is really recent, Nancy. That's like yesterday. That's like yesterday, you know. And it's okay if you were to say, hey, you know, I've let it all go, I would be like, So I guess what I'm saying is that maybe there will be many moments of letting go, not just one big let go.
Okay.
You know, maybe there'll be many moments of letting go, you know, and going to hell and back.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, it's something, and you don't have to answer this here, but it's something to think about. It's like the feeling of being tethered, is that something that has to go? You know, does it have, does a te feeling tethered have to go? Or is the my relationship to what it means to be tethered, maybe that will change. How I feel tethered maybe change may changed.
Okay. Thank you.
Because I mean, I've never experienced a divorce, and so I'm not going to speak from that place. But I've had really close relationships or people who've been in my life that have vanished in abruptly. And the reason that I'm doing this work is because I'm still tethered to them. And I want to find a sense of peace with the reality of the tetheredness that's here while it's here. It may go. Right, but while it's here, I want to have a quality of relating to it that doesn't engender more suffering. So, but yeah, four months was yesterday, Nancy. So we got to be you got to be
Maybe
really,
I'm pushing too hard.
you got to be a little more gentler with yourself.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, so we'll have a question and answer period. Let's have a 1 minute stretch real quick, and then we're going to go into the practice. I know some of you all are like, can we just get to it? All right. Y'all ready? Okay, so we'll go ahead and get going. All right. So just inviting you to find a comfortable posture. And as we get, arrive in our bodies, I just want to remind us that this isn't a pra this practice isn't about changing the other person. We're changing not even our relationship to the person. It's about engaging with the heartbreak. Okay. All right. No matter if you were the person who kind of like in caused the fracture, or a person who kind of is more feels like we're more on the receiving end of the harm. Either way, you can engage in the practice, okay? Just inviting us to be as gentle as we can, right? So once we found our posture, just want to invite us to actually close our eyes for this practice. Or have your gaze lowered if you prefer not to close. And just coming back home to the body, feeling the presence of your body, feeling the aliveness. Maybe tuning into your shoulders, seeing if you can soften your shoulders. Maybe relaxing your jaw, your face. Just feeling the aliveness of your hands, relaxing your belly, your hips, fingers, toes, eyes. I'm inviting the body to really just trust the chair, the bed, the couch, whatever you're on. Seeing there might be a little more softening of the body into that support under you. And just connecting with your particular motivation. So we're not doing a general motivation for this practice. We're going to be a little individualistic right here. Bring to mind, like, why are you practicing? Why are you working with heartbreak? Are you seeking a sense of healness, a healing? Are you seeking more understanding, a sense of just want to listen? You don't know. Just kind of see what's arising. And let it rest gently in your heart. My motivation for practicing is I want to feel better. What do you want? And as you hold that motivation in your heart, I want to invite us to begin using our minds, our imagination a little bit to visualize that around each of us, wherever you are, whatever room you're in, wherever you might be, that there's a soft, radiant light surrounding you and just filling the space. And it's surrounding your entire body from head to toe, from right to left, from bottom to top. And you can choose maybe choosing a color that feels protective and caring and loving for you, where you're kind of bringing in this circle of protection and circle of care. And you're bringing in, inviting in this sense of warmth and strength, knowing that you're being held and supported as you move into this practice of tending to your heartbreak. Just feeling into that warmth, that protection, that care. For a few more breaths. And let's take a deep breath in together and let it out. And now we're going to be shifting into kind of the heart of the practice, where I want to now invite you to gently bring the relationship you've chosen, the relationship that where the heartbreak is connected to, bring that to your awareness. And, please be sensitive to the severity of the relationship that you choose. We're bringing that relationship to mind that you've chosen. Notice what begins to happen as you invite that heartbreak into your experience, that you invite kind of like the person, you invite the storyline. Just notice how your body responds. Notice how you respond emotionally, not trying to control anything. And just allow these questions to reveal within your awareness what might need to arise. What were the circumstances that gave rise to this heartbreak? What were the circumstances? When this relationship shifted, right? When it faded, when it came to an end, how did you feel? How do you feel about it right now? Angry, ashamed, hurt, just so tender, words can't describe. Just simply notice without judgment. And what part of this relationship feels heaviest for you? What part of how things turned out feels heaviest or hardest for you? Where do you feel the grief most vividly? In your body, or does it live more as an emotion? Does it have a shape? Does it move? Does it stay still? Does it vibrate? Is it sharp? Is it dull? Is it heavy? Where do you feel it most vividly? How do you experience it most vividly? Is it experienced as memory more? Or is it more somatic in the body or in the heart? And now let's take a deep breath in and exhale out. We're going to continue in our practice. If you had a chance to speak heart to heart with this person, but speaking from the voice of the heartbreak, what would the heartbreak say? From the experience of the heartbreak, what does it wish the person could understand? Speaking from your heartbreak, what does the heartbreak wish the person could understand? What truth do you really just need to share? What do you just need to say? What questions do you have? Allow the questions to come. Just listening deeply as you ask the question, just listening. Honoring your questions. And then we're going to take two deep breaths this time. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, and breathing out. being with the movement of the breath for a few moments. Okay, and now we're gonna shift to beginning to imagine what it could be like to experience our heartbreak in a new way. Not by changing the other person, but by shifting how we feel in relationship to the heartbreak itself. So consider this: if you could transform the way you are relating to the heartbreak, how would you choose to feel right now if you could choose, if you could reach a little bit, how would you want to feel? Would you want to choose acceptance, inner courage, strength, kindness? What is it? And visualize yourself actually embodying the feeling that represents how you'd like to feel. What does embodying that feeling look like in your face? What you say? How you look? How you talk? The stories you tell? You're kind of allowing yourself to feel as though you're stepping into that feeling. Maybe it's a posture. Maybe it's like arms open wide, or maybe it's something different. Allowing yourself to feel as though you're stepping into to that feeling, that new way of being with the heartbreak. And if you can access even just an image of what you would hope, even if you can't right now, it's like, I hope at some point I might be able to feel blank. What would that be? And just see if you can rest in that, what it might be, that possibility of feeling, that possible feeling. Allow yourself to feel it for a little bit. And then lastly, what does your heartbreak long for? Is it reassurance? Is it permission? Is it rest? Is it forgiveness? Is it care? Is it patience? Is it friendliness? What does your heartbreak long for? Is there anything from life, from community, from friends or family that might support you in this moment? Just considering. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe you feel content right now with just working with it on your own. But considering what might I need from life? What might I need from community support? Say any type of support. And just letting the imagination rest, letting the visualization to rest, to come to an end. And you might imagine now that you're just simply resting and bathing in the light and warmth of your circle of care, those beings that you called in earlier, surrounding you, listening to you, understanding. Understanding you, feeling the support of your chair, your couch, the wall, bed. Then lastly, we'll take three deep breaths this time together. So breathing in. Letting it out. Breathing in. Letting it out. And then the last one, let's make an audible sigh. Breathing in and just releasing. Okay. So thank you for your practice, everybody. So I have a few questions for us to you to kind of journal or put in your phone really quick to think about while the practice is fresh for you. Just kind of tuning into what did you notice during the practice? What happened, right? Did anything unexpected show up? How do you feel now? So just inviting us to kind of have maybe like 2 moments of silence with that. What did you notice during the practice? Did anything unexpected show up? What's happening now? How do you feel now after engaging in the practice? Okay, so let's just open it up now. Let's open it up. Anybody want to just share? Anybody want to share any questions? What the experience was like? What the practice was like? Did it suck? Anybody want to just unmute?
There's some sharing here in the chat, Rashid, so I can just read it out. So Beck writes, "In my body, the grief gets stuck in my throat. Unexpressed anger taps into my loneliness from childhood, feeling abandoned, not heard. Lots of tears." So Rachel writes, "I feel very angry." Johanna, "I noticed that I thought I should want to feel different than heartbroken, but I just wanted to stay with the pain. And there was a big wish for, I'm not sure, CRE. And I found it hard to find that feeling inside of me."
The
Anyway,
big wish
go ahead, please.
the You understand?
Can you say it again? It was a little murky on my end.
Can you repeat, Johanna? Sorry, we didn't hear. It was a bit garbled, the sound. Okay, I think there might be a bit of. Okay. She's typing care. Mic's not working. Okay, no worries. Thank you. It felt a deep wish for care, and found it difficult to find it to find that feeling inside of me, the wish for care, to give care.
And it's, I think it's important to name that, as I said earlier in the teaching, that we may not feel differently, right? But the practice is about staying, keeping the heartbreak warm. Keeping the heartbreak warm, right? And not being, and that doesn't mean that this is the only thing that we can do to work with the heartbreak, right? Meditation does not have to be the only form of care that we offer our heartbreak. Right, that's super important to name. This is just one of many, right? Something else, I look at it as where it's like we have over we may do plant medicine over here, we may do traditional therapy over here, we may do somatic therapy over here, we may do massage over here, right? We may watch Netflix over here, and we have a practice right here that we can use to kind of just tune into what's here now, right? Because when I do the practice today, I may feel different. Tomorrow it may be a different experience, but what we don't want to happen is for it to turn cold, right? We don't want it to feel abandoned. Right. So like what came up for me when I was doing the practice for myself about a relationship that ended in a way where there wasn't physical violence that happened, but the way that the person spoke to me at the moment in my life, it made me feel very small and unsafe with how he spoke to me. And what came up for me was when I was sensing into what I, what the heartbreak wanted me to kind of do in this moment was really around just don't forget about it, right? Don't abandon the achiness around it. Speak to it, like let it be a part of me. Anybody else?
Some more comments here, Rashid, from Nancy. It was good to find out what hurt the most in the heartbreak. This was rejection, and the healing needs to be to and the healing needs to be to find my own value and sense of worth in order to not feel rejection, but be secure in myself. There's the work right there.
And I think Sandy, would you like to come off mute and share a little bit more? I think your question is really beautiful. No pressure to have to come out and elaborate more, but just if you're there and you want to elaborate, I would love to just hear your voice around it.
It was me again, Nancy. Sorry, I think people have probably
It's
put up with
fine.
hearing me. Yes, it's just a realization of, if I had more sense of my own self-worth, then I guess the rejection wouldn't be so painful. So I think that's where the work is. That's about accepting who I am and knowing my worth. And I think you're just not affected so badly by the rejection, I guess.
And you know, it's like multiple things can be true, right? It's like we can sense this deeper sense of worthiness and value and goodness, basic goodness that we have. And it can be true that it's hard, you know, it's heavy, it's hurtful, we feel sad, we feel it's a lot of pain around it. But the thing is not falling asleep, right? We want to remain awake, right? It doesn't mean we have to be engaging with the tenderness all the time, but we want to have a routine where we check in on the status and temperature of our heart when it comes to heartbreak, right? Like we don't want to be the person that just chooses to ignore, right? Right. Because we have practices to touch it just a little bit, right? Even if it's like a titration, right? You know, those practices where you feel the pain in this part of your body and then you go to a part of the body that doesn't have pain, right? We do that with our heartbreak too. We have moments where we dedicate time to inquiring, to asking questions, to listening, to asking ourselves how we want to feel, even if we can't feel something, right? To imagine ourselves living in a different with a different feeling. Like we do, we have to have appointments with that, right? With the heartbreak. But every day of the week doesn't have to be an appointment, right? And this is how, as a society, we end cycles of behavior that create harm. We work with the harm. We work with our heartbreak. We care for it. We grieve, right? We create ritual around coming back to it, right? So that we might be a being that can use the energy of the heartbreak to generate something beautiful, right? Right? It can drive us to be different, right? But a lot of times that energy, it sucks the life out of us when we don't have a way and we don't have appointments with it, right? So having appointment with it, it kind of keeps our own life force free, right? It keeps our own life force available. You know, it just because there's a wound, there's heartbreak, it doesn't mean that there has to be, it doesn't have to kind of like be like a parasite where it kind of slowly eats away at us, right? The practice is it mindfulness, it allows us to keep watch over it, right? But it's not just watching with rage only, but we try to see if I can I watch with a little more care today, right? And then when we meet other people in the world, everybody's heartbroken. We meet other people in the world, we can be present with them because we're able to feel with them, because we felt our own, right? That's how we change the world. We feel our own heartbreak so that we can be available to be with others in their heartbreak so that people aren't so alone, right? Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions or just comments? And yeah, I put on Instagram maybe just a few months ago now, but I posted something about, what we're experiencing in our world today is a lot of unprocessed heartbreak. Generations of unprocessed heartbreak, right? And then people grow up and they get in leadership positions, right? And they lead with brokenheartedness, unattended brokenheartedness, right? And they have no capacity to feel with others. They have no capacity to imagine life outside of their own orientations, their own self-centered views, right? They were never mothered, right? So they live life with imperialistic, capitalistic, colonial ways of being in relationship with each other, right? So this work is really not just about us, but it's about undoing cycles of harm. All right, because it allows us to feel. The more we can feel, the more free we can get. Right? We don't have to feel better, but just this capacity to feel is liberating. Anybody else have any other questions?
We're gonna have to close, Rashid. Got 2 minutes, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll
Well,
come in. Is there any time for me to come in?
sure, I'm okay with it being the
Yeah,
last.
go for it. We will need to end in the next few minutes, but yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, just so much anger I'm noticing. Trying to understand if it's useful or if it just refuses to move. Like, is the heartbreak is underneath the anger, but I feel the anger and it's like it's this messenger and but it feels destructive, but then I'm trying to use it as a messenger so that I can and it's just moving through that orientation. Been interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, I would say yes, that the anger is important. So many of us have never even gotten to the point to feel the anger, right? And I would say allow the anger to be there as long as it needs to be, and allow the anger to inspire in you a new way of relating to others based off of the anger that you're experiencing, and ensuring that what was harmful stops there, does it stops with you, Yeah. But it's important. The anger is it has a wisdom quality to it if we listen to it. Yeah. So I know we're about to close, so I just want to thank everybody for being here today. Just give, just dedicate our time, just wishing that all that has transpired, anything beautiful, lovely, any insight, any wisdom, just in anything that could be of benefit to others, may it be a blessing to all beings everywhere. May it not stop with us, but maybe radiate out